Let's talk about Drive Safely to Work Week. This is of utmost importance. Let's just talk about what I just mentioned. Drive Safely to Work Week. That was the worst handoff in the history of this program.
You dropped the baton and then picked it.
As bad as it was, I'm over here with Mr. Sticky Fingers, and I caught it, so I'm ready to roll with it.
All right.
But within the microcosm of your macrocosm, you know, one of the things that it really leads to problematic driving. And we see succeed a lot in the truckers, and we still do in the truckers, and that's somewhat regulated by federal regulations. That's a topic for another day. But it's drowsy driving, whether it be at nighttime. It can have, it can happen at daytime with people who have driven for many hours. They lose their, you know, their alertness, so to speak, and they get drowsy. And people tend to underestimate that. But drowsy driving is a very overlooked part of causation of this everyday auto accident. And what we have seen also in the courtroom at times is that drowsy driving can be just as much an element for the jury to consider for something like punitive damages. Just like if it was drunk driving or driving under the influence or driving under a suspended license or reckless driving.
There's got to be a portion of that where you're willfully out there when
every
you should
case, and you're right, every case, you're so astute at that box to recognize that every case turns on its own individual facts and circumstances. And certainly if you leave the house and you're feeling completely alert and all of a sudden you get behind the wheel and you suddenly drop off, I guess that's something for the jury to consider that, well, you know, there wasn't a lot of forethought. It just happened. That's more careless and reckless. But it's not going to lessen, of course, the consequential damage that can occur from an accident. When somebody falls asleep at the wheel, whether it's a quick nod off or if they've been behind the wheel for hours and they've sit there and think like, oh gosh, I'm getting really tired. I need to pull over. I need to do something. But no, if I just drive another 3 hours, I'll be there. You know,
I've been guilty of that.
I think at some point in our life we all have. And but the things to look out for is when you find yourself, you know, yawning all the time behind the wheel and especially difficult to keep in your head up. If you nod off that one time and you suddenly snap out of it, you know, that split second right before you really hit the sack behind the wheel, and do not kid yourself and think, okay, well, I got it now. I know that I'm nodding off, so it won't happen again.
Watch a video of a baby trying not to asleep, and they kind of...
No, it's exactly right. It's setting in. It's not going to happen. If you find yourself rubbing your eyes constantly or having to focus to really get a good view of things. I know years ago when I was coming home from college one time, I figured out it was time for me to pull over. It was when the little mile markers on the interstate looked like a man swinging a lamppost. And a couple of times, or not the lamppost, swinging the little, you know, lantern light. And that happened a couple of mile markers in a row, and I said, you know, I think it's probably time for me to pull over and switch drivers.
Started like hallucinating.
That was basically a hallucination,
That was what I was talking about. I was out west. Mm-hmm. I was trying to make my way. By the time I get to Phoenix,
she'll be rising.
Yeah, well, I was on 40 going west and through New Mexico and then into Arizona, and there's a lot of nothing but desert.
And the cat just looked like King Kong or something?
No, just like far off mountains, right?
Yeah.
So I swear to you, I look over and it looks like this huge, just crazy sized 18-wheeler coming out of the side of the mountain.
Ooh.
And I mean like giant. Like 900-foot Jesus in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Oral Roberts giant.
Like,
and this thing is like pulls in front of me on the interstate, and I'm like, and I'm like slam on the brakes, and I kind of come to, and I'm the only person on the road for miles and miles and miles. I mean, I was literally seeing trucks coming out of mountains. That was just from being tired.
Did you pull over?
Yes. And that was the weird thing. I pulled over at a little rest area, and I was like, oh, I'm going to sleep. And then I couldn't sleep. A half an hour later, I got back on the road and finished the trip. Weird.
Well, one thing you do need to do, of course, is pull over. And from that standpoint, find a safe place to pull over, the nearest rest area, the nearest well-lit area, and get some fresh air and think about what you're going to do. Because, obviously, that's, you know, you're getting ready to fall asleep behind the wheel. I count up the hours, can't look at the time. Be realistic about it and make the best adjustments that you can. I don't really know what to tell you to get a hotel room or whatever. You know, people aren't necessarily going to listen to my advice on that. But what you see in a lot of the literature is to find a safe, well-lit rest area and pull in the front area there where people most frequent, closer to the restrooms and so forth. Pull right in that spot and lock your doors you probably would like to text somebody who's living over here, but take a little nap, right? You just got to get out your system, I think. I haven't read that necessarily in any kind of legal periodical, but I have seen that as a suggestion.
That wasn't like a footnote in Lawyers Weekly or something?
Well, the point is on a cross-examination by an attorney who may be, bringing a claim against you or a lawsuit against you for a bad accident, which you cause serious injuries from drowsy driving, you can bet it's going to be cross-examined on all of the alternatives that you had available to you at that moment, which were better than to continue on driving while you're nodding off, sleeping behind the wheel. And as you can imagine, most any alternative is better than that, and most any alternative is more selfless than the selfish one you chose to stay on the road. And that's where the punitive damages begin to kick in, because the jury can decide that amounts to reckless conduct as opposed to simple carelessness. I don't mean to get me on a soapbox more on this topic.
It's very important. It can save some lives. Important. You know, it's just some things are so common sense we don't talk about it.
It's very common sense, but if we take those things for granted, because the more we get behind the wheel, the more we take things for granted, and the more we take things for granted, the more likely a careless act or an unthoughtful act is going to occur.
Well, if you need the advice of John Price and his fine team, how can we reach you, sir?
You can reach us right here at the Charleston and Somerville offices, 843-552-6011 or 888-MR-LEGAL. Or you can go to johnpricelawfirm.com, our website, and visit us there. There's a direct way to communicate with us and email us. And there's contact information on there, too, at johnpricelawfirm.com.